This is the Boy Scouts of America. You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
Perfect. ACRA. Thank you.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Ketty on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th, from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mary Dempsey reports for Columbia Green Media that Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson is considering a run for state assembly in 2024. Quote, I'm not ruling out running for assembly, unquote, Johnson said on September 15th. Quote, it's not out of the question. I think career-wise, that would be the next step, unquote. The 106th Assembly District seat is currently occupied by fellow Democrat Assembly Member Dee Dee Barrett. Barrett is running for re-election this year and has represented the district since 2013. Johnson is currently serving the first year of his second two-year term as mayor. Although he is looking at an assembly run, he also is making plans to run next year for a third term as mayor. Quote, my ultimate goal is to secure a third term as mayor, unquote, he said. Quote, I am making sure we put a dent in the affordable housing crisis in the city, and a lot of initiatives have started under my administration, unquote. Johnson pointed to capital projects that have begun as part of the $10 million state-funded Downtown Revitalization Initiative grant the city received in 2017. In addition, he cited his involvement in the Hudson Up Universal Basic Income Lottery. Johnson is a supporter of the initiative and also serves with the Mayors for a Guaranteed Income Network, a collective of 30 mayors nationwide involved with similar programs. Looking to the future and a possible assembly run, Johnson believes that his work on the local level would make him a more effective state leader. Quote, I know what's needed by local leaders, and I could bring that to a higher elected office, unquote, he said. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Raga Justin reports in the Times Union that U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is asking the White House to hurry $3.1 billion in recent federal funding to small farms, citing inflation woes for farmers and drought conditions in New York. Altogether, there is $5.3 billion in loan relief and general financial assistance in the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act that is going to agricultural interests. Gillibrand wants to make sure they get it quickly. Gillibrand said, and I quote, "By not defining who exactly will be eligible for relief, the Inflation Reduction Act creates the potential of countless small farms to be left out of the program initially designed to help them. Reduced demand, rising cost, and supply chain disruptions have made it extremely difficult for many farmers to keep their businesses afloat. For years, they've struggled to find and pay workers, maintain their equipment, and put food on the table for the American families," end quote. At a press conference on September 14th, Gillibrand also weighed in on the news that New York farm workers would get overtime after 40 hours of work like other employees 10 years from now. Gillibrand said, and I quote, "Obviously, it's going to have a big impact on the farm's ability to stay in business. So we need to figure out how to get them more resources if that is made a requirement," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
WNYT.com is reporting that Albany Med is eliminating 37 positions and does not intend to fill several others. CEO Dennis McKenna said on September 15th the hospital has a, quote, unprecedented, unquote, $66 million year-to-date operating loss. The hospital says the positions to be cut were mostly non-clinical and frontline workers were not affected. Officials said all affected workers will receive severance pay and job placement help. According to McKenna, the leadership team has developed a financial mitigation plan that includes an organizational restructure, primarily in management roles. Quote, "This is not a situation unique to us. Healthcare organizations throughout the U.S. remain strained by staffing levels, reliance on costly agency contracts, and rising expenses across the board," unquote, said McKenna in a September 14th letter to staff. Quote, "These decisions are extremely difficult. They are necessary to protect our future as an independent health system with the highest quality care in our region," unquote. The hospital also says several staff members will be moved or restructured. Read more at WNYT.com.
Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County's free bus rides begin October 1st. But Ulster County Area Transit, commonly known as UCAT, has a problem too. UCAT said on its webpage, and I quote, "Along with numerous transit agencies and markets across the nation, Ulster County Area Transit is experiencing labor shortages. The labor shortage situation has resulted in cancellation and or delays to UCAT's bus service. We sincerely apologize for the inconvenience this has caused to all the UCAT passengers," end quote. So the bus riders in Ulster County should check the rider alerts and news page on the UCAT website at ucat.ulstercountynewyork.gov and the UCAT Transit app. Riders can also call Transit Dispatch at 845-334-8458 before a trip. The Ulster County Legislature on August 17th voted 16-7 to eliminate fares, with all Republicans voting against the proposal and Democrats voting in favor. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Bill Williams reports for Columbia Green Media that because the state is owed more than $64 million in unpaid tolls, the New York State Thruway Authority will crack down on motorists who have not paid. Any driver who refuses to pay will receive four notices listing late fees before they are referred to the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles to have their car registration suspended, Thruway Executive Director Matthew Driscoll said. The $64 million in past due tolls date from 2018 to 2021. The Thruway made the switch to cashless tolling in November 2020. Motorists with EasyPass are billed automatically when their vehicle passes under a toll gantry. License plates of the cars and trucks without EasyPass are photographed and a bill for the accumulated tolls is mailed. Driscoll said, quote, "Customers without the EasyPass were entirely unfamiliar with the process and did not understand that a toll bill will be mailed to them. They also did not know that they needed to have their most up-to-date address on file with the DMV as required by law," unquote. Some action the Thruway has taken to help educate drivers includes installing new signage simplifying billing statements, offering an amnesty program to help customers, enhancing technology, and increasing staffing at their call centers. Toll revenue is used for maintenance of the Thruway's 426 miles of mainline road. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
New York's first foliage report is out this week as the leaves begin to turn. The report says, and I quote, fall colors are just beginning to appear in the Catskills. In Delaware County, spotters in Delhi project up to 10% foliage change this weekend, with some bright pops of orange and yellow leaves just beginning to appear. Foliage will be less than 10% changed in Greene County, with some touches of orange in Catskill. Spotters in the towns of Windham and Hunter also predict less than 10% foliage change, with some yellow leaves arriving over the mostly green backdrop. In the Hudson Valley, Dutchess County reports from Hopewell Junction expect up to 10% color change this weekend, with the emergence of some bright touches of red. Orange County spotters in Goshen and Middletown predict up to 10% color change, with some bright yellow and red leaves beginning to appear. New York's Fall Foliage Report website has complete details.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, patchy fog before 7 a.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 71 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 51 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM on Friday, September 16th, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Agogo Show. Tracks this week from Ixvarka Ture, Afrodelic, Nidia Gangora, and others. Then after the local news at noon, Jared Wiggishute is live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street with the two-hour Sugar Shack jukebox with all sorts of new rock, pop, psych, reggae, hip-hop, and more. At 2 p.m. it's time for the Data Cult audio show. At 4 p.m. we're live from Acre with the WGXC afternoon show. At 6 p.m. we're live from Catskill with Clubhouse Radio and teenagers there on Main Street talking about their issues and playing their music. At 7 p.m. there are different teens. These are from Hudson on the Bound by Books show telling about what they've been reading. At 8 p.m. it's time for the local music show, Hudson Valley Sounds. And then at 10 p.m., Guy and friends take over from the WGXC Hudson studio on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Turn out for a special performance from Leah Bertucci, Sunday, September 18th at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Bertucci is performing on electronics, voice samples, and multi-channel radio using four low-range FM transmitters provided from Wavefarm and used to send audio throughout the performance to radios installed within the labyrinth walls of Opus 40 to create a spatialized sonic gesture. Audience members are urged to circulate among the Opus 40 grounds to hear, to make their own live mix of the performance. Bertucci is working with Ben Vita, Zach Layton, and Victoria Ketty on the project. It's Sunday, September 18th, from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Opus 40 in Saugerties. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Podcasts get made locally at WGXC.org, as all WGXC's locally produced programs can be subscribed to and found in all the usual podcasting places. Tune in for a mind-expanding radio from local news to a travelogue of sounds, either live at 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, September 16th. Local early morning temperatures are getting low, and today range from 41 in Jewett to 47 in Cairo. The regional average soil temperature is 62, and the slide continues. Today will be pretty nice, mostly sunny with some clouds forming this afternoon and a high of 72 at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures will fall to 52 degrees, then tomorrow it jumps back up to 75 degrees, giving us a comfy day similar to today. 60 degrees overnight takes us into a hot-looking Sunday with a high of 85 and some afternoon rain with a possible side of thunder that will last into Monday, which will cool off to a high of only 77 degrees and we'll have a little more afternoon rain. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:24 a.m., high tide at 8:14 a.m., low tide again at 2:18 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:32 p.m. The river temperature will be 73 degrees, and the tidal strength will be low. And since next weekend will no longer be summer, this is the final sandbar predictions for the year. Don't worry, though, standard tide predictions along with the new current strength metric will continue for the autumn season. Water won't be going that deep, so currents both days will be light and the sandbar appearance time will be relatively brief. 3 to 4 a.m. on Saturday morning, then 2:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday afternoon. On Sunday, it shows up 4 a.m. to 5:30 a.m., then again from 3:30 to 5 p.m. And today, sunset will be at 6:52 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:32 a.m. Looking way up, we see geomagnetic disturbances are expected this weekend as we push through a co-rotating interaction region. Solar wind speed is currently 335 kilometers per second at 5.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. However, during the weekend, expect things to bounce around a bit. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet, and the current sunspot number is 71. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephen Merritt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland. right? So then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It sounds like the tentative agreement grants a single sick leave day, which is a bit of an insult, one would think.
Ron Kamenkow, organizer for Railroad Workers United, on the tentative agreement with rail companies. It would also let workers take unpaid time off to attend medical appointments without penalty and would increase worker wages by 24% over 5 years. The deal hasn't yet been approved by the rank and file, but it could avert a crippling strike that would halt U.S. rail freight. In Minnesota, 15,000 nurses returned to work after a three-day strike, the largest on record. Minnesota Nurses Association President Mary Turner said they're suffering from burnout and pay that hasn't kept up with inflation.
We have plenty of nurses, but we have nurses that don't want to work in the conditions that are out there. And I could say this message to every nurse in every state, and they'd understand what I'm talking about.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is standing by his move to ship two plane loads of migrants, most from Venezuela, to Martha's Vineyard. Critics charge he was using refugees from communism for a careless political stunt. Senate Judiciary Chair Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin addressed growing threats to law enforcement after being briefed by the FBI and Department of Homeland Security.
It was stunning, the number of threats that have been cataloged and indexed since the August 8th search at Mar-a-Lago. We've seen some very specific and others which are generalized and address the security of each and every federal agent.
At the White House Thursday, President Joe Biden hosted the United We Stand Summit. He called for action on the hate and violence shown at the January 6th insurrection and the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally.
Nazi flags and banners chanting the bile, accompanied by white supremacists. David Dukes and his crowd, and an innocent young woman is killed. When the last guy was asked, what did he think? He said he thought there were some fine people on both sides.
Social media platforms, including YouTube and Facebook, say they are taking action to stop violence against specific groups. And in California, Governor Gavin Newsom signed online transparency legislation he says will protect against hate and disinformation. But Twitter's former head of global engineering, Alex Roeder, says he's skeptical that the algorithms will change much.
So until those incentives change, we should not expect the AI to optimize for anything other than engagement and profit maximization.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. An investigative report just released by the nonprofit news organization ProPublica follows the story of one woman's quest to provide assistance to low-literacy voters in her community. It also shows the efforts by local and state government to stop that assistance. The article chronicles the efforts of Olivia Coley Pearson from Coffee County, Georgia, where one-third of the population reads only at a basic level. Coley Pearson helps those needing assistance at the polls with voter registration and ballots, as affirmed by Congress in the Voting Rights Act changes in 1982. But ProPublica's reporting shows that while literacy tests used to suppress black voters in the 1960s may be gone, literacy is still wielded as a weapon in some polling places. Ballots and registrations are sometimes invalidated for misspellings in addresses and names, or for errors in dates. Some state legislatures have even passed laws which require illiterate voters to explain in a written affidavit as to why they need assistance. Other states prevent bringing sample ballots to the polls and limit the number of volunteers providing assistance. Coley Pearson herself has been brought up on baseless charges of improperly assisting voters in what smacks of an effort to intimidate her from her work. That literacy would still be a barrier to Americans who make the effort to exercise their constitutionally guaranteed right to vote demonstrates just how far we are from a free and fair election system. Find a link to the ProPublica article at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I was living in a devil town. Didn't know it was a devil town. Oh, Lord, it really brings me down about the devil town. And all my friends were vampires. Didn't know they were vampires. Turns out I was a vampire myself in the devil town. I was living in a devil town. Didn't know it was a devil town. Oh Lord, it really brings me down about the devil town.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
September 15th is the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month, and what's taking place in Hudson this weekend is a festival to celebrate that. Joining me now is Elvia Garcia, the community organizer from Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. Welcome.
Hi, so thank you for having us. Yes, I'm super excited to share with y'all a little bit about our event this weekend.
Wonderful. I'm so excited for it. And we've had Columbia County Sanctuary Movement on our program pretty regularly. Before we get into the logistics for the event, Hispanic heritage, can you talk about the term Hispanic? And why does it start at the 15th and go to the 15th?
Yeah, I think Hispanic Heritage Month really celebrates Hispanic people. And this incorporates tons of countries, not only from Latin America. So I think really it's a time to celebrate the amazing Hispanic community that we have across the world, across our country. So I think for the month of September, it's really just a time to be able to recognize the amazing people, the amazing food, the amazing music, our culture that we've brought, and we can share with our communities.
So this weekend, the 17th of September in Hudson, what's taking place?
Yeah, so this weekend, we are going to have our second annual Latinx Festival, which is going to be in Hudson. So first, we're going to start with a parade, and that's going to be at 1 p.m. So I think a big thing that we're celebrating not only during Hispanic Heritage Month is really just about countries celebrating our country's Independence Days. There's a lot of Latin American countries that are celebrating their Independence Days. This parade is really a way to celebrate the countries that we come from and the amazing people that are part of our communities. So we start off with a parade, and that's going to be at 1 p.m. And then we're going to move into a festival, which is right here at the Hudson Riverfront Park. That's from 2 to 6. We're going to have music. We're going to have food. We're going to have activities for the kids, everything. And then right when you think that the party is done, from 7 to 11, we have an after party at the Hudson Brewery later that night.
Wonderful. And I know the musical talent is fantastic. One of them is Taina Asili, who is a regular at the Sanctuary. Can you talk about the performers?
Yeah, of course. We have different varieties of music this year. We have different dances, musical groups. We have, just to name a few, you mentioned Taina Asili. She's a powerful artist. We also have mariachis, which is such a staple for Hispanic and the Mexican communities. We have Andes Manta, who is, they're more folklore music. And so it's just a different variety of music that represent different countries, which is amazing.
It is interesting how food and music, it really touches all these different senses, and how culture is not just about the fact, and part of those traditions really incorporate these various senses. Do you have a memory where like certain foods or certain musics just trigger a certain cultural connection for you?
Oh my God, yes. I think that what is so beautiful about like a lot of our cultures is that there is a lot of similarities. And so although sometimes there is some differences, like I'm Mexican, so I love like fresh fruit, elotes, which bring back such amazing memories from when I'm in Mexico or when I'm eating like plantains, plátanos. Like I know, like, oh my God, that is going to be specific to mi gente in Puerto Rico or in Dominican Republic. Like, I can, like, go back to those places where I have, like, certain memories and be like, oh, my God, yes, these are my people. This is my culture. And, like, it's so beautiful. I love it. So hopefully we can do that to this year when y'all join us at the park. You guys are like, oh, my God, I remember this from my country or when I went on vacation here. It's going to be hopefully a mini vacation.
What is your favorite aspect about your culture that you like to share with non-Hispanic people?
Yeah, I think honestly community. Community is huge in our Hispanic culture. We love to dance. We love to celebrate. And I think you're really going to be able to see that at this event. We're really going to show out. We also love to, like, you know, just like have a good time. So I think one of the things that I take back from like any of my events that I do or like any community event, any like even family event, is just like how connected you really feel. And we're hoping to bring that back to folks during this festival, is like really showing that community, making sure that like everyone feels welcomed as well. Because I know when I go to certain events, sometimes I'm a little scared to go if I don't know anybody, but I think just that welcomeness is what we're striving for, because it's just like a big family hug. That's how I like to describe events that I go to. Yeah.
So you work for Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. I'd love to talk just briefly about what your organization does and why celebrating culture is so important.
Yeah, of course. So Columbia County Sanctuary Movement is based right here in Hudson, New York. We're an organization that is made to defend, empower, and support our immigrant communities, specifically here in Columbia Counties, but also the Capital Region. We work on campaigns, we provide services, and one of the reasons why we also wanted to do such a big, beautiful community event is because we know that a lot of the times that we work through and with some very serious institutions. And sometimes the news that we work through or we have to work with is a little bit hard and a little bit difficult. So we want to also recognize that community and celebration is also a great part of being a part of the sanctuary movement. We want to celebrate beautiful times as well. So the Latinx Festival was also part of, you know, just trying to build community and the work that we also do. We also have community members that have been dreaming about this festival for years. This is the second time that we've been doing this. One of our co-founders is actually, it was his dream for so many years to be able to be a part of this or put something on like this. So it really is just so amazing that we were finally able to get the means to be able to put something together like this.
Wonderful. So for listeners who are interested in attending this day of celebration, 1 p.m. is the parade, 2 to 6 is the music and food, 7 to 11, the after party. All of this takes place on September 17th in Hudson, New York. Is there anything I left out?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much it. If you guys want to know some more information, definitely check out our Facebook, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, or our website, ColumbiaCountySanctuary.org, and we hope to see you there.
Thank you so much, Elvia Garcia, for joining us on Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. La lluvia cae, el río nos guía. La lluvia cae, el río nos guía. La lluvia cae, el río nos guía.
Was Resiliencia from Albany, New York, singer-songwriter Tanya Asili from her 2019 album of the same title.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra. Here is more 2021 new music. This time we tune in a track from Stereolab singer Letitia Sadier. This is called New Moon.
Thank you.
That was 2021 new music from Marissa Nadler with Emma Ruth Rundle. The song is called Turned Into Air from the album The Path of Clouds.
You can go there with your family and you can meet new friends in the library. When you're at the library, you can read lots of books and you can find any book. There are lots of Dog Man books, which are my favorite books of all. When I go to the library, I read them. And that's why I like the library.
I'm also on a radio show at the library, and there was also a video making workshop that I did, and I did some animation, and I made a lot of new friends, and I laughed a lot, and it was really fun. My main reason of coming here is because it's books. Of course, it's a library, and I really like the wide selection of books, and they have computers and all sorts of stuff. They also recently did a mural painting thing where they painted the computer room in the back, and I got to be a part of that, and it was really fun. It looks really cool now, and I just really appreciate the library for being here. And if I had to choose between this library and any other one to go to, I would choose this one. I really like the Hudson Area Library, and I hope that it stays running for as long as I live or maybe even longer, because I know a bunch of people that love to read.
We'll be right back.
That was A Bad Bet from Black Dice from their 2021 album Mod Prog Sick on the radio at WGXC.org. Next, we hear The War on Drugs. This is their 2021 song Change from the album I Don't Live Here Anymore.